Hey everybody, welcome back to this week's show. I am currently on location in beautiful Cancun, Mexico. Remember, follow me on Instagram at TheJesusShowNTO. You can find me on Facebook, The Jesus Show, not that one. You might be able to find me on TikTok. I'll talk about that. At The Jesus Show, not that one. YouTube, type in The Jesus Show, not that one. And email me your questions, comments, and concerns. TheJesusShowNTO@gmail.com. All right. This episode is brought to you by Tecate. Tecate Light is the best Mexican beer in all of Mexico. Drink some today. Ay, 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 it's lo máximo. So TikTok might be getting banned. Well, I think the House of Representatives passed the motion to ban TikTok. And from my understanding, it's not necessarily a TikTok ban. Republicans and Democrats, those who support this stupid thing, they're calling it something along the lines of they're trying to improve the user something, or I don't know. I think it's a bunch of bullshit. I think this is my personal opinion on it. I think a lot of the old people in power in our government, Republican and Democrat alike, see that TikTok is a huge social media powerhouse where not only can you find people sticking things up their butthole. And full disclosure, I don't know if people are sticking things up their butthole on TikTok, but I feel like you can find any and everything from something like that to things that are very educational and informative. And I feel that that's how young people engage with each other, especially when it comes to politics and other important issues. So I think those old people on both sides see this as something perhaps that's dangerous because, I don't know, these motherfuckers were scared to leave power. Like, you've been in there for too fucking long and all your goddamn policies suck dick. It's stupid. What I don't understand is the government is okay as a whole, meaning there's enough votes to keep this thing going. Excuse me. But they want to ban TikTok under the false narrative of we're trying to help the kids. But when it comes to actually helping kids, banning certain types of guns, making it harder to get a gun in America, as a whole, they don't want to do shit. It's always, well, we can't because, and then these grown adults piss and moan that they're going to take my guns away. Yeah, well, are you allowed to drive 100 miles on the road? 100 miles per hour on the road? Are you able to do that? Legally, you can't. Why? Because you may be able to control your car. You may be able to be responsible going 100 miles an hour on the road. But there's other dumb fucking people that don't know what they're doing. So because of some people, none of us can legally go 100 miles an hour on the road. I don't see people marching and protesting because of that. I'm sure people weren't happy when they put speed limits, you know, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, or whenever the fuck they put it. That was just kind of a dig at old people. I mean, the government requires you to get a permit to build shit in your own house. I've never heard once of a bunch of people getting together and getting pissed off enough that people are revolting against the government. You know, there's people out there that, you know, they have, either they build something or they have something built and they don't get the proper paperwork or ask the proper people. They don't get city approval, all that shit. I get that. But as a movement, like I've said before, it's like the dumb fucks that thought COVID was fake and, oh, masks don't help. Masks actually hurt. That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard in my life. These dummies might as well have said, well, washing your hands actually causes you to get more germs. Like, it's stupid. But yeah, I don't. And again, like I said, this is my personal opinion on the government trying to ban TikTok. This is my opinion. And I don't know everything. But the little that I know seems stupid. Like, I think they attempted to ban TikTok like one or two times before and it wasn't successful. Excuse me. I don't know. It's fucking stupid. On to a much lighter subject. My working bench press weight. So where I, you know, have the weight on the bar and I can at least do, I don't know, 5 to 8 reps comfortably, is 155 pounds. Now that means nothing to nobody except for me. But I wanted to share this accomplishment because growing up playing soccer, we would go into the gym and, you know, we'd work out. And I always focused on my legs more than anything because I thought to myself, well, all I really do is run and kick and jump and this, that, whatever. I don't necessarily need upper body muscles, right? And then I stopped playing soccer and I just started thinking, well, how can I get my fitness level to get better? And I started working my whole body. I remember when I first started going to the gym on my own, not because I was playing soccer, not because, you know, I had a training regimen, but because I wanted to do it. I remember watching people bench press 135 pounds. If you're not familiar with that, it is the bar, which normally weighs 45 pounds. And then you have a 45-pound plate on each side. I feel like that's normally what you see in movies and TV shows when somebody's bench pressing, when a guy's on TV and they're bench pressing. It's usually like 135. That seems to be like the stock photo or video of a guy working out in the gym, right? So I always thought to myself, man, like I remember going to the gym, like I said at first, I was like, that's what I want to do one day. I want to get to that. And I've slowly gotten to that point. And I remember the first time I got to 135. And I thought it was crazy. I did it. And it was difficult. But it wasn't difficult enough that I was like I felt like I was, it was gonna, you know, drop on me and I couldn't do it. It felt tough, but I did it. And then just the other day, this was, what, a week and a half ago? It's crazy to think that now the lightest weight that I do is 135. So I walk in and I'll do empty bar. And then I put a 25-pound plate on each side and do some reps. And then I put a 10-pound weight on each side. So now I'm rocking 35 pounds on each side. And then I get to 135. And then do some reps. And it's like, okay, loosening up. Okay, how much more weight can I put? My max, I haven't maxed out on my bench in a while. But I think I can probably do 170, 175. Which even that to me is crazy. When I used to work out with Frank in Vegas, we were able to push ourselves because we had a spotter, right? I try not to do that shit on my own now because I don't want the bar to fall on me. But it's crazy now. Where I think, you know, and it's nothing big. Well, I should say it's nothing big to anybody else except for me. But I see that as a pretty big accomplishment from when I first started going to the gym to now. Because again, I just think to myself, like, man, I remember when I was having a hard time, you know, getting 100 pounds off my chest. Like, that's wild to me. And just, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. I went to the gym. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to push myself. Because sometimes I go to the gym and I know what I want to do. I write everything down, and I write everything down so that I can see where my progress is. And let's say I got sick. Let's say I haven't been able to go to the gym in like 4 days because I'm working or nobody's home and I don't have a car or I have nobody to watch the baby, which is fine. But then I can't be going as often. So then when I write things down, like I can see when I go back, let's say 2, 3, 4 days out of the gym, and maybe I haven't gone to the gym at work either because, you know, I have like a 10, 11, 12 hour layover. So it's, you know, a long day, get to the hotel, I sleep, and then the next day is another long day. Excuse me. I sleep and then I go back to work. I hate those trips. I don't need a lot of time, but just enough time to go to the gym. But because I write everything down, then I go, oh yeah, like, you know, I'm weaker now because of this, whatever. So yesterday I went to the gym. I go to the Y at home by the high school. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm gonna make myself uncomfortable. I'm going to get uncomfortable. And what I meant by that was, I can do 2 50-pound dumbbells and do dumbbell bench. And it's fairly easy. You know, you have to engage your core. You try to do both of them. That was for the picture. That was for the cover shot. I can do, you know, 50 pounds on each side. But it's going up together, coming back down at a slow and controlled pace. I just started doing 55 pounds. And the 55 pounders have started to feel easier. So I thought to myself, well, fuck it. Let me try 60 pounds. Again, that's another thing where I've seen other people do that. And I go, man, one day. And I thought, fuck it, why not? Why not today? Today's going to be the day. And sure shit, yesterday, I started off, I warmed up with some 40s, went to 45, went to 50, went to 55. And then I thought, well, worst case scenario, I can't do it. I put them down, I get the 55. And I grabbed the 60s and I did 8 reps and I was like, oh. By rep 6, it was starting to feel challenging, more challenging, but I did it. By the 4th set, 6th rep, I was feeling it. I was like, but I got it up. And then the last set, my 5th set, around rep 5, I felt it, but I pushed through. And even that, I was like, fuck. That was awesome. And like little things like that excite me. And I think, hell yeah, man. And it takes me back to, like I said before, seeing other people doing it. And it wasn't necessarily that. Like when I saw those other people doing it, I just thought, man, I want to be that, at least that strong. And it's just cool that now I'm doing it. And I'm, you know, it's not killing me. But it's just crazy to think, like, I can do 60-pound dumbbells. Like, I can do it. My working weight, meaning I can do multiple sets at multiple reps at 155 pounds when I'm benching. You know, to find your max, you have to max out. But I'm just talking about walking in. Yeah, I can do 155. To me, that's just wild. And yeah, I want to share that with you guys. Your boy's getting strong. Have you guys ever been to Taco Bell? I'm assuming you have. I've been to Taco Bell in Indiana. And I don't know what it is about Taco Bell in Indiana, but it's different. Hey, Jess, how's it different? Well, let me tell you. If I were to tell you, let's pretend you're working at Taco Bell, right? I come in and I ask for 2 bean and cheese burritos. What do you think I just said? Let me do it one more time. Hello, you say. Oh, hello, hi. I normally say something to the effect of, how's your day going? Oh, it's going good. Oh, good, good. The person now says, what can I get you? May I please get 2 bean and cheese burritos? Thank you. Anything else? No, just that. Okay. What I said was, I would like 2 bean and cheese burritos with beans and cheese. A bean and cheese burrito, right? Simple. At least I thought. The first time we moved back to Crown Point, I went to Taco Bell. I ordered some bean and cheese burritos, some tacos, some stuff for Allie. I get home and I open the burrito. And the first time it was just a bean burrito. Again, I ordered a bean and cheese burrito. And I received bean burritos. I thought to myself, okay, maybe the person either put it in wrong, right? Or they didn't hear me say cheese, bean and cheese. So I thought, okay, that's fine. I had some shredded cheese in the fridge. I busted some of that out. I put it on the burrito, rolled it back up, ate it. Good, fine. Then I go again, and I said, yes, may I have some bean and cheese burritos? You know, I ordered however many. Bean and cheese burritos. Bean and cheese burrito. They repeated, yep. I get home, and they put beans and nacho cheese in the burrito. I went, wait, what? I've never had a burrito. I've never had a bean and cheese burrito with nacho cheese. When I make my own bean and cheese burritos at home, I use shredded cheese, right? I'm like, Again, I thought, well, maybe they, whatever it was. Third time. Yes, may I please get, you know, in the order, may I please get bean and cheese burritos? Yes, they repeat, perfect. This time they had beans, rice, and nacho cheese. And I told Allie, what the fuck is going on? Am I being punked? Is this a joke? Then I asked her the same thing. I was like, I say, may I have a bean and cheese burrito? What do you think that means? She was like, bean and cheese. Like, yeah. Okay. Well, what kind of cheese would you use? She goes, I would use shredded cheese because I'm assuming that's what they normally use. I go, yeah, when I've in California and not just in California. Anywhere else I've had Taco Bell in these United States of America, when I've asked for a bean and cheese burrito, I get a bean and cheese burrito. It's a tortilla with beans and shredded cheese in it, folded up like a burrito, and then you... So I went, yeah, okay. Allie goes the next time. She asks for bean and cheese burritos. I once again get beans, rice, and nacho cheese. I went, this is insane. Well, then I started, every time I would go to Taco Bell, I started purchasing shredded cheese from the grocery store, going to Taco Bell, just getting bean burritos. Can I just get bean burritos? When I asked for bean burritos, they gave me bean burritos. No cheese, no nothing, just beans. And I was talking to my brother Greg, and he made a good point. He goes, so you're paying them to get half of your order right? And I went, I did not think about it that way. He goes, well, think about it. You what you want is bean and cheese burrito, right? And I went, yes. He goes, what you've started asking for is bean burritos. That's not what you want. I go, no. He goes, you can make bean and cheese burritos at home. I thought, yeah, you're right. He goes, so you're paying them to get half your order right. Why would you do that? And I went, holy shit. That's a good point. That was the last time. I haven't been to Taco Bell in at least 4 months, maybe almost five. And I won't go back. At least not in Indiana. I don't know. When I've told that story to some people, they go, well, are you? And I go, no, I'm. Because, you know, when somebody says, they're telling you a story and they go, well, like, I wasn't doing anything. I was just standing there and this person called me a cunt. And then later on you find out, oh, Jesse wasn't just standing there. He called this person an asshole. Then the person got mad and said, you're a cunt. Jesse omitted that part from the story. Oh. I'm telling you exactly what I'm asking for. A bean and cheese burrito. And I've gotten everything but a bean and cheese burrito. And full disclosure, the first four times, I asked for bean and cheese burritos with extra cheese. Never got the extra cheese. This was before the nacho cheese came into play. I got zero amounts of cheese. And on the receipt, I was being charged for extra cheese. So I was paying for something that I was not getting. Insane. So point of the story is, I'm not going to be going to Taco Bell again. Not that they're going to miss me going there, because they could give three shits. But I'm not doing that anymore. And then when I was just recently in Burbank, right across the street, if you follow me on my Instagram, my show Instagram, I went across the street to Del Taco. Oh my God, it was so good. I got 2 half-pound bean and cheese burritos with extra green sauce. Well, extra green sauce and extra cheese. I got a large fry. I got 2 Del Tacos, which the tacos are bigger. They have more cheese in them. The 2 burritos, 2 tacos, and a large fry. Oh, then I got an unsweetened iced tea. Oh my God, it was so good. Did my stomach hurt later on that night? Yeah, a little bit. Not a lot of it, because I didn't eat like an asshole, but it hurt. Did they give me the amount of cheese and cheese period that I was looking for? Yeah, they did. It was great. I loved it. Here's another helpful tip. Some friendly advice from your local flight attendant. Me. Do not come onto the plane talking very loud for everyone to hear. Don't do that. I mean, don't do it in public, period. But don't do that shit coming onto the plane. There's really no reason. And I've thought about this. There's no reason that anybody should be coming onto the plane on the phone. Nobody. I feel like a lot of these business people come onto the plane and you hear them and they're like, yeah, you know, the stock is up $1 million. Yeah, I just made a sale and it was $100,000 easy. You know, okay, let's start this meeting. I'm thinking, what the fuck are you doing? Number one, I don't want to hear your shit. You're being way too loud for no reason, number one. Number two, I feel, this is my personal opinion, I feel like people that do that are trying to call attention to themselves. perhaps maybe they want people to think, oh, this is an important, successful person. Look at all the buzzwords they're using. They're using, that was a lot of money. I have a lot of money. It doesn't matter how much it costs. I'm a great salesman. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. I think that shit's rude. The other annoying thing is, there's been plenty of times where people come onto the plane and they have their phone. They're talking to somebody. Blah, 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 blah. They have their bag. They have another bag that they're trying to balance with this hand. Their bag, their roller, and then they're trying to hold a coffee. And then they look at us and they want us to help them. Huh? Are you not an adult? Are you, I don't know, tick-touched? Are you of diminished capacities? All those are probably true. But also, as an adult, you should know, oh, there's stuff that I should be doing for myself. Did I pack my bag? Of course. So why don't I put my bag up? What is the phone call you're on? Is it an emergency? Probably not, because if it was, you wouldn't be getting on a plane. I mean, I've had people come onto the plane where they're going to a funeral. The person has died already. They're not on the phone. That's the only thing that I can think of that would be an emergency. If there's an emergency at home and it was that much of an emergency, you wouldn't be getting on the plane. So you don't need to be talking to somebody. I know a lot of people think that things are emergencies, are very important. When people tell us, oh, I have a connecting flight that I'm going to be late for. Did you book yourself with not enough time? Yeah. Okay. Well, then you're probably going to miss it. But I need to make my connecting flight. Okay. But you didn't care to give yourself more time? I've had people straight up tell me I'm being rude and I'm showing them that I don't care. And I've told them right back to their face. I say, well, if you really cared to get on that next flight, you would have planned better. You would have made sure that you would have given yourself enough time for just in case. Like just in case the flight's an hour delayed, which we are today. But you wanted to get to the destination. You wanted to get to the next city and go from this plane, jump on the next one, take off, and then show up on time. That's just not smart. Well, your website let me do it. Correct. When you're looking for flights, our website will try to help you get to the next flight. And if you put certain parameters, you can have a very short connecting time. I think something people don't understand is I've tried this process, meaning I've tried myself where I go, oh, for fun, let me see what it entails. Does it actually alert you like, hey, you may not make this flight? And then I've done it. And then it says, did you know you don't have enough time? Then it says, are you sure you want to take this flight? You may miss it. Then it goes, hold on. You are aware that you may miss the next flight because you only have X amount of time. It's under 90 minutes. And then one more time. Okay, just so you know, you may miss your next flight. But you're okay with it? Yes. Okay. Then you book it, and then you go to miss your flight, and you go, this is unacceptable. Well, listen here, dum-dum. Give yourself at least 3 fucking hours. Do I want to wait in the airport for 3 hours for my next flight? Fuck no. But is it part of the game? Yes. Because you don't know what's going to happen. Again, getting back to people on the plane. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hang up the fucking phone. Hang it up. Whoever you're going to meet, whoever's picking you up, text them. Also, the moment you land, you don't need to get on your phone. You don't. If the person that you're trying to contact needs you to call them, maybe you should have somebody else pick you up from the airport, because then I don't trust them. I just don't trust them. You can't navigate getting to the airport and waiting. How about you get close to the airport and you find a McDonald's or a Denny's, something with a parking lot, find the cell lot. Most airports have it, and most airports have a fuck ton of signs. Go to the cell lot. Wait. Just wait. Oh, but I don't want to have to wait. Okay, well then don't go to the airport. I don't know what to tell you. That's what they should be banning. They should... people having loud conversations on the fucking plane, that's what should be banned. That's what our government should be banning. Absolutely not. $10,000 fine. If you come on and buy, sell. No, thank you. Don't be doing that shit. It's rude. It's rude as shit. Text. When you get out in the terminal, get back on your fucking phone. As you can tell, that it irritates me. Fun fact that you probably didn't know about me, because I don't think I've shared it on the show. I applied for a TSA job when I was out of high school? I think it was right when I was out of high school. Maybe a year. I think it could have been like 2000. Well, no, it would have Jesse trying to talk, take two and action. Hey. It had to have been when TSA was a thing. So definitely after 2001, after September 11th, maybe 2-3 years into it, perhaps, I applied back home in Montclair. There's a shopping center. It's by the Montclair Plaza. Excuse me. By the Michaels. There was like this empty office space. Or not office space, but it was empty storefront. And the TSA people took over for a while. And people who applied, excuse me, they had you come in and they had you take a test. This test was, if I remember correctly, they had you look at images. It was on computer. And you had to pick, I think something was, you know, identify the knife. And then it gave you an x-rayed bag. And you had to, it was like right there. Or is there a bomb in this bag? You'd have to look, and like it would tell you, like, you have to look for this. Like, this is what it would look like. Does there anything similar? Like, is there anything in there that looks similar to it? I want to say the test took about an hour. There was, I don't remember if there was like a face-to-face conversation with somebody. I know we were all in a group. It was like, let's say like 50 people. We walked in, they sat us down, and they're like, okay, watch this video. So be in the TSA, blah, 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 blah. And then there was some people that came up and they talked about what the TSA does. And at the time, like, I didn't have any job prospects. So I was like, yeah, fuck it, let me try that. I think the pay to start off at the time was decent. Like, oh, that's pretty good. It could have been like $15 an hour. And to be honest with you, I was making $0 an hour. So anything was a big improvement from zero, right? And then I remember I took the test, went in, whatever. And I remember two TSA people, this man and this woman, they told me, man, it looks good for you. And I said, I was like, all right, cool. And I believe I left, got in the car because my mom drove me. Did my mom drive me? Did I drive myself? I don't know. I don't remember. But I remember having a conversation with my mom at home later that day. Because I want to say it was like early on a Saturday. And I remember telling her something to the effect of, you know, I think I'm going to be a TSA agent. And then a month passed and I didn't hear anything. And I was like, that's weird. And then I kept calling for like another like 2 weeks. Hey. Oh, we'll get to you. And then finally, like either the tail end of the second week of me calling almost every day to maybe the start of week three. So now this is almost 2 months later. I finally talked to somebody. And, excuse me. I remember the person telling me, you are overqualified for this job. And I went, huh? I didn't, at the time, I didn't know that was a thing. I went, how am I too qualified? And the lady on the phone said, you should be doing something else, not this. And I went, but can I do it though? Because I want to do it. I want to make money. And she said, no, you're not going to get the job. Thank you for applying. And then she hung up on me. And I thought to myself, what the fuck am I doing with my life? There's nothing wrong with being a TSA agent. There's nothing wrong with any job that anybody's trying to do to support themselves and their family, whether it is supporting themselves or their family, or if it's just for fun. You can have whatever fucking job you want. No job, I don't think one job is better than the other, right? But at the time, I thought to myself, like, man, I must be a real piece of shit human where not even TSA wants to hire me. I was like, whoa. I remember feeling pretty damn depressed. I wouldn't say depressed. I was definitely sad and I felt low. Like, holy shit. Now what? And then now to be a flight attendant and I have this kind of animosity with TSA just because there's a lot of things that I see from my side of the job where I don't want to get into details because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't know if I'd get in trouble if I say certain things. So I'm going to be very vague, but there's things that I see that, let's say at one airport, you have to do something because they say, this is what all TSA does. And we go, okay. And then you go to another airport and then you go, wait, aren't I supposed, do you want me to do this? And they go, why would you do that? Go, oh, because your TSA friends over at this airport said, and they go, no, that's not a thing. Like, okay. Then I go to another airport and then I don't do it there. And they go, well, did you know you're supposed to do this? And I go, wait, they told me that that other thing isn't a thing. And at the other place, they had me do something different. Now you want me to do something different? Huh? They go, yeah, that's policy everywhere. I'm like, but it's not though, because I've learned to shut my mouth for the most part, not always. And then there's stuff that we do, background checks and other stuff to get a certain kind of clearance, to where sometimes we don't have to go through security unless we're randomly searched, which is a thing. And then even in that program, it's like, oh, we're told that this is how it goes. And let's say, I don't know, for the past 6 months, it's the same way. And then magically it's not. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What I'm trying to say is there's no continuity. No, not continuity. God, what's the word I'm trying to think of? I'm trying to think of the word. I'm sure you guys are going, it's this. It's like when everything's the same. Is my brain broken? Consistency. Boom. Wow, that was... what's going on with my brain? It sucks when there's no consistency. So I'm like, this is what I'm used to. I'm not understanding. It's odd. Oh, well. Last thing I'm going to leave you guys with. Excuse me. I think by now, most of you guys know that I was sexually abused by my cousin Fernando for many years. And when I initially told my mom, she said it was my fault, right? So I stopped talking to her for a while. And then I don't know what it was. I think it was because me and Allie moved to LA. Like, we were going to be in LA and we were going to be closer to them. And I think that's what drove me to be like, okay, this is your mom. You know, she's your mom. She gave you life. She loves you. You know, all the stuff that people say when it comes to a parent, especially a mother. So I think I thought to myself, like, okay, yeah, let me give this a chance. Like, let me not be a complete hardhead and, you know, not talk to her ever again. So I thought things were good. And one of my fears at the time was, well, what's going to happen if mommy dies, my grandma? Do I say something? Because at the time when I told my mom, she was like, well, don't tell mommy, because it was always this thing, like when Carrie got pregnant, my mom's like, don't tell your grandma, it's going to kill her. And then my sister told her, and she was fine, obviously. And then when Greg was going to have, well, not that Greg was going to have the baby, but when Greg found out that him and his girlfriend were going to have a baby, same thing. My mom was like, don't tell your grandma. And my brother was like, okay, I won't. And then told her. My grandma was fine. My grandma's always been very, she was very resilient. I think my family, at least my mom, well, my mom and my, well, my mom and my two aunts, my mom's sisters, they always saw, I feel like they always saw mommy as fragile and not being able to handle things, but they were completely wrong about her. Even in her old age, she was very level-headed. And some of the things she would tell us, I was like, man, that makes a lot of sense. Like, you are making more sense than people who are not your age and who might know a little better at this point in their life. But so I never told my grandma about what Fernando did. I know that she knew I was pissed at him. She knew I didn't want to be around him. She knew I didn't want anything to do with him, but she didn't necessarily understand it because she was like, man, as a kid and, you know, when you got older, you were always around him. You guys were always hanging out, you know. And I think a couple times my grandma asked me, like, what's going on? And I was just like, nothing, nothing. And I never told her. So then fast forward to mommy dies. And I remember telling my cousin Danny, like, hey, I don't want, him around. Because I thought, you know, clearly he's going to try to come home and be at the funeral. Like, I'm not playing that shit. And I want to say, was it before? I think it was before the person told me. Like, somebody else in the family said, hey, it happened to me too. And then that set me off. But it sucked because I was caught off guard because I hadn't told anybody other than my mom. My mom, my brother, you know, Greg, Robert's parents, my mom, Carrie, Allie. At the time, Richie knew. Like, there was few people that knew. Definitely Danny didn't know. Nikki didn't know. My uncle Nick, Aunt Rosa, Danielle, none of them knew. Because I didn't tell them. But I remember when I told, like, I think it was the day mommy died. Me and Allie stuck around. And we're talking to Janice and Danny. And I told them, like, hey, look. And at first he was like, oh, thank you for telling me. But then it was like very dismissive. Like, yeah, well, you know, he has a lot of stuff going on. And I remember hearing this shit and it was like, even that was like a kind of like an out-of-body experience because I was like, wait, am I really hearing what I think I'm hearing from you? Like, ah, well, we all have demons. Like, I've never diddled anybody. Definitely not a kid. I mean, I've never diddled anybody. Every person I've been sexually or had a sexual encounter with was a person of legal age. And it was definitely consensual. So then the other person tells him. And then it was kind of the same thing, like, oh, well, you know. And then me and the other person were talking about it. We're like, yeah, I don't like the way that, like, that is not how somebody should react. So I blew up. And I mean, when I was in a group chat, I think Fernando was in there. But it was like Nikki, my Uncle Nick, and Gladys, Danny, Janice, I think some of her family, some of their friends. I think it was like 20 people. And I was like, dude, fuck this guy. Fernando's a child molesting piece of shit. And I remember Danny was like, are you drunk? I go, you think I'm drunk because I'm telling you guys what happened and I'm telling you the truth? Like, that's what you go to? So me and the other person wrote everybody off. We've written everybody off. Fuck them all. Because if you're going to, like, it's kind of like when somebody says, are Nazis good or bad? Again, the answer is always, are Nazis bad? Yes, they're bad. Fuck them. Fuck all Nazis. It's an easy question to answer. Unless you're a piece of shit, right? So me and this other person were like, I'm never talking to anybody again from our family. Because if I won't accept this shit, this behavior from a stranger, absolutely no fucking way that I'm accepting it from our, you know, my family. Our people that we have been around, you know, like, it's stupid. So I sent my mom a text. This was, you know, when I was back in Indiana at home, and I pretty much told her to don't talk to me, don't reach out. You can go fuck yourself. Like, if I ever want to talk to you, I will talk to you. I will reach out. My mom can't read properly, and I took a dig at her, which, I mean, I feel very, very good about. I said, I think at the end I was like, or I think it was in the beginning, something. I said something to the effect of, I know you don't know how to read, so you're going to have somebody else read this to you because you're like half stupid. Make sure they make sure they read it to you properly. You know, I was like, don't talk to me, blah, blah, blah. So she sent me a text message about a week ago. And I told myself, I definitely want to be a man of my word. Don't text me or I will block you. But then I also said to myself, there's room for mistakes. But you get one. So I was talking to Allie and I said, I think the next time my mom texts me without me reaching out first, which I'm not reaching out to her, at least within the foreseeable future. I said, if she texts me again, I'm gonna block her. She's like, okay, that's something you really want to do? I said, yeah, yeah. She's like, all right. So, I mean, I thought initially I was going to be like more upset, but it was like somebody texted me that irritates me. I saw it and I was like, God damn it. I didn't even read what it said. I just saw on the banner thing said, you know, hey, Jess, I guess it's your mom. I was like, God damn it, dude. But like I said, I wasn't angry. I was like, all right. Like, I saw it and I went, all right, well, you get one. Yeah. So I might be blocking my mom soon if she texts me again. Yeah, that's really all I wanted to talk to you guys about this week. Guys, thank you very much for watching, listening. Remember to share, like, wait. So wait, what am I trying to say? My mind's crazy right now. Rate, like, share, and subscribe to The Jesus Show, not that one. And I'll see you next week.